Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's the end of June, depending on when you're listening to this, either June 27th or June 28th. Today, June 27th, for my running friends, there is a race in Goffstown, and hope to see some of you there. That's a 5.2-mile race that's pretty famous. It's a traditional race which raises money for the Goffstown Park and Rec, and Northeast Delta Dental is a sponsor. Last weekend, of course, is one of our major events, was the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, and I did blog about this, but I did make my secondary goal, which was under 2 hours and not at all speed walking. Now, let me just clarify that for my running friends. There are some really good speed walkers who passed me while I was quote-unquote running, but for me, what works is, you know, basically turtling my way up the 7.6 miles. And then the last couple hundred yards is like a 22% grade. And I had to make sure that I finished below 2 hours because I had deprived myself of ice cream for like 3 months in training for this. And so the Dairy Queen that sits as you're on your way to Storyland was awaiting me if I could get under 2 hours. So I did get soft serve ice cream and indulge in myself. We can talk about ice cream and the effect on teeth with my guest today, who is Dr. Shannon Mills, who was a legend not only in his own mind but in the oral health field. Shannon, I know that you get to see me every day and you're sick of me, but thank you for joining us on June 27th and June 28th. I appreciate it.
Well, sometimes I think I'm also a rumor in my own time.
No, but Shannon, for everybody, in case you don't know, he travels the world literally and is an expert on oral health and standards and a great guy. He's been really in the fabric of the Concord community on Merrimack Street. Oh, I haven't given away your address specifically, though, Shannon. No HIPAA violation.
And the good news is, since there's two Merrimack Streets, that even brought
there you go, right? We'll send them out to Merrimack Valley like I did once. Exactly. I did that once, actually. What Shannon's alluding to, when he first moved in, he had a little house party for some of his Delta Dental colleagues. So I really wasn't paying too much attention. I just coded in Merrimack Street, you know, into my GPS, and it took me out by Merrimack Valley because there is another there is another Merrimack Street in that part of Concord when he was basically like 3 minutes away from Delta Dental. So that's folklore that will be in my next book once I think of a title, because the problem is I have the title There Are No Do-Overs, so, you know, how can you have a second book? But we'll think about that. Hey, last week's show was with Tom Hassan, who is the governor's husband, obviously, and is the headmaster. He's retiring from Phillips Exeter. But Tom now is responsible for the Friends of Bridges House, which is the governor's, quote-unquote, governor's residence. But we really call it the People's House. And it allows the governor to entertain dignitaries and also enables not-for-profits to use it. In any event, we have a group of us spent several years under the leadership of Dr. Susan Lynch to fundraise and really upgrade it. It's not the Taj Mahal. It's quintessential New Hampshire. It's very functional. But Tom described last week the history of the Bridges House, who was, in fact, Senator Stiles Bridges. If you don't know your history, definitely look up Stiles Bridges, and you'll be amazed with how someone from New Hampshire was so famous. But there is a golf tournament on June 29th at the Concord Country Club, and if you go on the website friendsofbridgeshouse.org, you can register, and all the dollars go to maintaining the Bridges House, so 20 years from now a group of other people like myself don't have to do fundraising to maintain it. So we don't want it to go into disrepair. So friendsofbridgeshouse.org, and it's at the Concord Country Club June 29th. And of course, the Country Club, ironically, is only a few minutes up the street from the Bridges House. But today's topic is a pretty basic question, but it's really sophisticated. I'm going to start with Shannon. Again, Shannon is a Has been a practicing dentist. He now works with us at Northeast Delta Dental and does a lot more. He's revolutionizing oral health with a new program we call Health Through Oral Wellness, and if we have time, we'll talk about that later. But it's a pretty basic question, Shannon. So why don't people go to the dentist, even sometimes when their company is paying the dental premium for them to go to the dentist?
Well, you know, it's like many questions, it seems simple on the surface, and a lot of people give you the quick answer that I guess the main reason they go is they just don't like dentists or they're afraid to go to the dentist, and conventional wisdom was always that was the number one reasons. But recent research done by the Health Policy Institute at the American Dental Association showed that that was actually not one of the major reasons. It was only 1% of the people surveyed said that they didn't like dentists or were afraid to go. You know, that may play a small role, but it's the primary reason that was rarely the case.
So that old adage that maybe folks of our generation were afraid to go to the dentist, that was really overstated, apparently?
Yeah, it's not the primary reason. And interestingly, since 2004, when the last survey was done, that's dropped by half. Half as many people cite that as a major reason for not going.
So if that's not the reason, is cost a reason? Are there generational differences? You know, take both of those if you would.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, and this was a surprise to many people, the number one reason that people don't go to the dentist is because they're fearful of what it's going to cost, which is ironic in the case of people who have dental insurance because usually they incur no cost for the initial examination, x-rays, and cleaning and preventive services.
And what Shannon's alluding to for the listening audience, most dental plans cover 100% of preventative, so you pretty much won't be balance billed by your dentist, certainly if it's a Delta Dental policy. Now, of course, if you have a crown, you're going to be,
yes,
most plans, you'll be paying for half of that, so you could be writing a check for $600 or $700.
Right. So that makes it a little more complicated because what's the reason people don't go? And again, it's multifactorial, any one of these reasons. I mean, other things that they cited, I mean, were things like they were too busy, it was hard to take time off. These are all factors. And sometimes they may not be the primary reason, but when you add them all up, worried about the cost, really, really busy, maybe have a little bit of fear of the dentist, they can be additive. When you put it all together, it just results in sometimes a paralysis in picking up that phone and making that call to make an appointment.
Now, some of these statistics that I'm about to refer to are a little dated, but your point that being able to take off time from work to go to the dentist. So if you're a blue-collar hourly worker, you may not want to leave your position because you may be docked pay, and so that seems to have a little bit of an influence.
Right, it does, and depending on where you are in the country, dentist hours look more like what banking hours used to be. Sometimes it's a little challenging, sometimes for some people to be able to get that time off to go. And you know, again, it's maybe not one single thing. It's just that it adds up.
So I think that's a good overarching point to make, Shannon, because what's that famous expression that there's usually an answer to a complicated question, and usually that answer is wrong. So there's a series of reasons for this. So even when, though, a family could afford it or their company has dental insurance through Delta Dental or another company, there are still other situations where someone may not go to the dentist because it's just not in their priority. Maybe they were the lucky ones that grew up with fluoridated water and they've never experienced caries, and so they just don't make it a priority, maybe?
Yeah, we think that's true, and there's some evidence to support it. If you look at the age groups and who goes, interestingly today, they're the only group of adults in which there's an increase in the number of people getting regular dental care is older adults, retired adults. And it's because many of them have dental insurance. There are increasingly more options to purchase individual dental insurance plans, which is an incentive. It's a reason. Once you've invested the money in the dental insurance, it's kind of foolish then not to use it. So people, I think, who buy dental insurance indeed are more likely to go. And we know that. We actually have the numbers to prove that that's so. But young people, you mentioned a thing, and maybe I think we have a break coming up, but after the break we can talk about this group I call the Crest Kids, and not to use a brand name, but they were the first fluoridated toothpaste.
Well, tell us about that. We have some time.
Okay, we have a couple of minutes. I mean, we have this group of kids now, increasingly. My two sons, who are in their 30s, neither of them have ever had a cavity.
That's kind of like the TV show My Three Sons,
except there's only two sons. Strangely enough.
But go ahead.
But, we see that not uncommonly, that people have had little or no experience with tooth decay. Well, that's great. I mean, certainly applaud that. I mean, fluoridated water, fluoridated toothpaste, you know, better dietary habits have all contributed to this. But there's another problem, because tooth decay isn't the only problem we face. We also have problems with gum disease. The thing is that when these young people like my sons get into their 30s, their risk for gum disease begins to go up. And if they aren't taking advantage of going to the dentist, they may miss that diagnosis, because as we've talked about before, gum disease often has few signs or symptoms in its early stages. So not going to the dentist misses that opportunity.
How can you have sons in your 30s when you only look like you're in your 40s, Shannon? Jeez, you were like, would you get married at 16? Your mother signed off on that?
I don't know, Tom. Just living right.
Living right. So let's assume now that you have dental insurance, and you understand that the mouth is part of the body, which, you know, I end every speech with. So how often should I see a dentist?
Well, I think the general consensus is that a good number, you know, we've always talked about twice a year. By the way, that's great. It's a good thing. If you miss one, you'll catch the other. It's good. But for everybody, it's different. So for some people, seeing the dentist once a year is going to be fine. You need to do it at an interval you'll remember. You know, you can't have it every 13 months or something like that. It's because you'll remember to go annually or twice a year. But there are people that need to go more often. We've talked about this, who have big, you know, who have gum disease, for example.
So after the break, maybe we'll have some time to talk about health, rural wellness, which we'll get into that evidence-based dentistry. Because like you say, some of us need to go maybe three or four times a year. Some once every 2 years could work. Mm-hmm. And as you have explained in many prior shows, the twice a year is a good benchmark. But that was really from toothpaste companies trying to get people to go to the dentist twice a year. So with that, I will return with the world-renowned Vice President of Professional Relations and Science, Dr. Shannon Mills, who lives right here in Concord, after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and with me this weekend, at the end of June, June 27th or June 28th, depending on when you're listening to this, is Dr. Shannon Mills, who is our Vice President of Professional Relations and Science at Northeast Delta Dental. Last week was the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, and we had a great deal of fun. We had a team there that was actually promoting oral health at the base of the mountain as well as at the top of the mountain. So one of the reasons why we sponsor a lot of community events is to get the word out on the importance of oral health, because our world is becoming a little bit more retail. As everybody knows, employer-sponsored benefits have really been around since World War II, but there's definitely been a decrement of coverage of dental through the employer, and more individuals are buying our dental coverage either through the public exchange, healthcare.gov, or our private exchange, Delta Dental, coversme.com. Now, with that is kind of as the platform, one of the questions that I'd like to discuss with Dr. Mills is, does everybody need dental insurance? And sometimes when I'm skiing in the winter, someone on a chairlift will recognize me and they will ask that question. And here's how I answer it, Shannon. You can certainly add to this. But I always say, well, if you have relatively good teeth, if you can discipline yourself to go to the dentist, you know, and as we've said, it could be twice a year, but it could be once or whatever. And if the person's, let's say, my age in their 50s, I'll say, and if every couple years when you need a crown, you can write a check for $1,300, if you have that discretionary income, then I always say, no, you don't need dental insurance. And I think they really respect my honesty. But then I go on to say, of course, a lot of people like the reminder of having a Delta Dental Identification Card. And, of course, as you know, when our participating dentists know that you have coverage, they'll remind you. And, of course, obviously, all the preventative-based stuff is you don't get any, as you said earlier in the program. You don't get charged for that. And, of course, when you have the crown, you know, half of it will be covered. So I think by the end of it, they say, you know what? I don't think I can be disciplined enough, so I am going to purchase, you know, Delta Dental. But I always say, if you're disciplined enough, have, you know, really good teeth, and you can write that check every 4 or 5 years for $1,300 or $1,400, then it probably is not worth having Delta dental coverage, other than if you need that encouragement to go to the dentist. So that's how I answer it. How do you answer it, Shannon?
Well, I think everybody's got to make it so because as we say, one size doesn't fit all. Everybody should sit down and, you know, look at all the considerations. What's it going to cost? What have my experiences been? One thing that could be very helpful is to actually go online to healththroughoralwellness.com and take a personal risk assessment. Now, it's self-reported. You may not, if you have periodontal disease and you don't know it, you know, it's not going to show up on the risk assessment, but you can kind of figure out whether you're in a, low risk or moderate to high risk category. And, you know, I hate to encourage, you know, people to get care just because they need a crown. But,
I think one of the things I always like to say as a CEO of an insurance company, I actually want people to go to the dentist.
Well, we do too. And if it helps you go to the dentist and establish, and we're going to talk a little bit later about a dental home, establish the dental home, then it is absolutely the right choice. Now, but it's going to be different for each individual.
Now, you mentioned Health Through Wellness, which is the revolutionary program that I broadly referenced earlier. So tell us, since you mentioned it, why don't you explore that a little bit further? Okay.
Well, again, we looked at dental benefits, and we saw that across the country and across all the plans, it's typically kind of a one-size-fits-all arrangement, and it's tied to the cost more than it is to trying to create improved health. So we thought, what can we do to change that? And one thing we can do is to make sure that people are getting the package of benefits that match their individual needs. And again, it's this recognition that we're all individuals. We have different genetics. We have different diet. We have different home care habits. And we're different. We spread the age gamut from infant to senior. And each one of those things, each creates individuality and the kind of care we need. So we wanted to build plan designs that recognize that individuality, and that's what, at its core, HOW is about.
That's really customization, or we have 800,000 covered lives, so it really would be mass customization. Give us the website again.
HealthThroughOralWellness.com.
So the cool thing is if you go to a participating dentist of Delta Dental who has registered for HOW, and if your employer has HOW, and you yourself have done the risk assessment, then those additional benefits are actually paid for by Northeast Delta Dental. Mm-hmm. As you say, though, Shannon, all of our dentists are free to use the provisor program, mm-hmm. even if the patient is under HOW. Now, since you mentioned dental home, I think it's probably instructive if you could describe what you mean by a dental home.
Okay. Well, it's a takeoff on the concept of a medical home, which had its origins really in pediatric care, but it really is appropriate to everyone, in that you have a central place that you don't see a different doctor every time you go to a clinic, and that you have one person who understands your needs and develops a long-term healthcare relationship with you or your family and your family. So the dental home is the same idea, that instead of going in every time you have a problem and, you know, calling a dental office and going and having the problem directed and then going and waiting for the next problem to arise, you have someone that's managing your oral health care and has continuity of records and really gets to know you as an individual, because that's critical. As we said, HOW is based on the individual, so is the idea of the dental home.
So if I'm a family listening to this, you know, kind of like I'm like the equivalent of FDR's fireside chat, Shannon, and how would us as a family find a dentist for ourselves?
Okay, well, there are a number of ways you can do it. Obviously, if you have insurance through your employer, or you have individually purchased insurance, the insurance company will have a list of providers. If you want to go in network, that is, you usually get the best pricing if you go in network. But it isn't the only resource. Both the New Hampshire Dental Society and the American Dental Association also have lists of dentists that you can go to. You want to find a dentist that's convenient to you, because the last thing you need is another barrier, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to drive to Lebanon to go to the dentist when I live in Concord. You want to make it convenient, and so that you're just less likely to find another reason not to go.
Now, we talked earlier, one of the reasons is price, and one of the things that we did when we set up the private exchange, deltadentalcoversme.com, as well as filing the plans on the public exchange, healthcare.gov, we created what we termed a preferred provider arrangement network, which allowed us to get the premium down to about $35 a month. So if you think of it, that makes it much more affordable than some of our older products where the premium was getting close, you know, to $90 a month. So I encourage everybody to go on healthcare.gov or deltadentalcoversme.com, and you will find, particularly if you go on deltadentalcoversme.com, you'll find tailored programs for the slightly seasoned population as well as a young family. So you've described a dental home. So I'm assuming the flip side of that is that, and I know you've done a lot of research on this, that that the emergency room, I gather, would not necessarily be the best place to get dental care.
Well, it should seem fairly obvious, but unfortunately, the numbers of Americans seeking care in the in emergency rooms at hospitals has increased dramatically since the recession, up about almost 20%. And unfortunately, this is the wrong answer in a number of ways. It's the opposite of the dental home. You're not seeing a dentist. You're not even going to see the same physician if you go back for multiple visits. But moreover, physicians aren't trained to actually take care of dental problems. So they're going to mask them, and they're doing the best they can. It's not a criticism of them. But they're going to mask the condition by giving pain medications or antibiotics. And as soon as they're done, within a period of time, whatever the original problem was, deep cavity or an abscess, it's going to come back. So it remains unresolved. So it tends to produce sort of a revolving door. So getting people out of that revolving door and into a dental home is certainly a worthy goal. And if dental benefits can be part of that by making it easier for people to get care and giving them reasons to get care, then it's definitely a boon. And that's whether it's through public programs like Medicaid or whether it's through private insurance.
Now, you mentioned, that maybe a well-meaning physician in the emergency room might mask an issue or just deal with it on a triage basis. So that kind of leads me to a question I have. Do you see in your time here in Concord better cooperation between physicians and dentists in terms of the pediatrician and the pediatric dentist?
I think there is. We're seeing more awareness on the part of primary care physicians and pediatricians of dental issues. And there's been a considerable effort on the part of their professional associations to try to increase that awareness. So the American Dental Association, Academy of Pediatrics, and Family Practice have all worked together to try to develop educational tools. And of course, physicians, dentists also need to be more aware of medical issues like diabetes and heart disease and so forth. So, yes, I think in all, things are really moving in the right direction.
And perhaps the two professions are seeing this as the rising tide helps everybody, because if a pediatrician spots some issue with the toddler's gum or tooth, that obviously that toddler will be referred to a dentist.
Right. And again, as opposed to the emergency room, if you have a dental problem and you don't have a dentist, well, bring it up with your family practice physician or with your pediatrician, because they can help you get to a dentist who can take care of the problem for you.
Okay, we've got about a minute left, Dr. Shannon. So using your crystal ball, tell us in 30 seconds why Health Rural Wellness is going to revolutionize our industry, and give me 30 seconds on the future of dentistry.
Okay. Well, the first 30 seconds would say that we believe Health Through Oral Wellness is a way to both engage both providers, those are the dentists and the hygienists, and patients around improving their oral health, because it's a team effort. Everybody has to be focused on getting in the same direction, including us as a dental benefit provider. We got to make sure we take the barriers out of the way, and we talked about some of the barriers to care. What we're trying to do is take some of the barriers out of the way to make it easier for people to get the care they need.
Okay, so that's Health Through Wellness is the website there. And again, hopefully your employer has HOW coverage with Delta Dental. And how do you see dentistry quickly in the future?
Well, dentistry's got some challenges, and it's going to have to address. But all in all, I think we have to move in the direction of wellness, and we have to make sure that what we're doing is we're all striving for making people healthy, because the diseases we're dealing with, tooth decay and gum disease, are chronic diseases just like diabetes or heart disease, and we need to treat them in much the same way.
With the added advantage that certainly tooth decay can be handled. So yep. With that, Dr. Mills, thank you for joining us. Reminder, friends of bridgeshouse.org, if you want to do the golf tournament this coming Monday. Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.